Exodus and Leviticus. Some years ago I received an excited phone call from my son. "Mum, have you noticed what an incredible book Leviticus is? Everything, just everything, points to the Lord Jesus Christ." Admittedly, Leviticus was not what I had expected to enthrall my son. But I do ask you the same question. Have you noticed how everything, just everything, points to Christ? Just as the two despairing disciples on the road to Emmaus were instructed, "Oh, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets wrote," just as the arrogant Pharisees were rebuked, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Oh, yes, Old and New Testaments, prophet, priest, and kings, all speak of Christ. Both Father and Holy Ghost, in word and spirit, direct attention to Jesus. "This is my beloved Son," was the sound of God's voice on the Holy Mount. The Comforter, even the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, "He shall testify of me." In spirit and in truth was Christ's proclamation. All, in glorious union, without exception, directs attention to the Anointed One. Everything in glorious union and without exception points to Jesus Christ. And before a sequence of serious warnings permeate the book of Hebrews, an astonishing succession of superlatives of God's Son are spread before us. We have been chosen in him to be joined heirs with Christ. Christ is shown as one that must suffer, one who has a glorious future. Christ, the suffering servant, is destined to become God's great king. Christ, the appointed heir, has been promised the greatest inheritance. "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." And we have been chosen in him to be joint heirs with Christ. Though angels currently rule this dying world, Christ will one day take the helm, and he will rule with a rod of iron, and his kingdom will have no end. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it, with judgment and with justice from henceforth even for ever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Oh yes, Hebrews 1, in logical sequence, sets out Christ's consummate credentials, and we have been chosen in him to be joint heirs with Christ. These words are not spoken to non-believers. This is a book aimed at the one that is growing, maturing, being sanctified. This is information and instruction to those that are called. This is advice and counsel for those who are the overcomers of Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And then at the very start of chapter 2 comes the biggest bombshell to believers. Therefore, that is, in the light of all the wonderful things of chapter 1, therefore we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Therefore. Oh, after being told of the glorious coming kingdom with Christ as its king, after being informed of the great position of heirship that we have been promised, after being taken to the heights of glorious expectation of our future promise, believers start to be severely warned of the consequences of falling short, as over and again warnings are given that we don't fall short of the promised rest. Do not neglect so great salvation, but live by faith and not by sight. Do not fall short of the promised rest. Be faithful to the end. Be careful not to be slothful, or stand still, or fall away. Be thou faithful. Do not sin wilfully or draw back to perdition, but live by faith. Do not ignore the important sanctification process, but live by faith. For without faith, that is, faith in Christ, it is impossible to please God. I believe as we get closer to the return of Christ and his coming kingdom, these warnings should be taken very seriously. Israel was redeemed from Egypt, just as we are redeemed from the world. But Israel fell short of the promises and neglected their salvation. just as we are warned that we too can neglect so great salvation. Paul clearly tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6, "Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Oh, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." We, like Israel, are walking through the wilderness of life. And like Israel, we too can be overthrown in our wilderness journey. Remember, this Christian life all depends on faith and faithfulness. So do not fall short of the grace of God by refusing to listen to him. Take heed of Israel's shortcomings and loss, and be warned. And give more earnest heed to these instructions in the book of Hebrews, that you do not neglect so great salvation.